everyone, and welcome to this week's Boat Briefing. My name's Charlotte Hogarth-Jones, and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of super yachting is Caroline White. This week, we're a skeleton crew, as most of the team are, of course, over in Fort Lauderdale, ready for Flibs, which kicks off this week. So I'm sure some of you are heading out there. And I thought we'd kick off, if it's all right with you, Caroline, by kind of talking about a few highlights that we're all looking forward to. Maybe you're on your way to the airport, on the plane, something like that. So first up, there are a number of world debuts that are going to be at the show for the first time, notably Heesen Project Aura, which I know the team touched on last week. That's a 50-metre, which has a very cool Scandi interior, apparently.
Yeah, absolute beauty. So as Charlotte says, I think we touched on this last week, but she's got a beautiful automotive, sleek, undulating exterior and a lovely Raymond Langton interior. So one to not miss at Flibs, I'd say.
Sounds great. So there's that to look out for sure. And then there's the first 29.5 metre sea activity vessel. It's the CLX-96. And that's an interesting story. It was constructed in Hong Kong and then made the journey to the States by ship via the Panama Canal. So the model has been specifically tailored for the US market. So if you're a US buyer, definitely one to check out. It's got a workboat inspired profile from Milan-based designer Joseph Farakis. And apparently she's also well suited to warm Florida weather with a design that minimises overhanging glass to reduce its susceptibility to the greenhouse effect. So it'll be interesting to see if she's drawing in the US crowds as they hope.
Absolutely.
It's also going to be the first sighting of the Horizon FD110 and FD100 and the Galleon 800. And for many people, it's not the world debut, I don't think, but it's also the first chance to see the Ocean Alexander 28E because she's only really been seen in Australia before. And obviously not everyone's had a chance to get out there. So there's those boats in terms of ones for your list. And also just in terms of exciting stuff happening, Sunreef are going to be announcing a new model on Friday, which is no doubt going to be an exciting addition to its lineup of eco-focused catamarans. So that's something to keep an ear out for around Friday coffee time. See if you've heard the news. And of course, if you haven't, we're going to be updating our site with all the latest news and developments. But I don't know if there's anything you're kind of looking out for specifically, Caroline.
Well, I'd say the SP110, which debuted at the Cannes Yachting Festival, is really one to see at Flibs if you haven't seen it in Europe already. It's this hydrojet-powered sports yacht. It's the first in San Lorenzo's SP Smart Performance series, and it represents the brand's entry into the sports yacht market. So it's important for a number of reasons. It's designed by Bernardo Zucon, and it's got this beautiful, slender exterior with an interior by Piero Lissoni, which I think is very beautiful. It's a slightly unusual-looking boat, so I would definitely go and see this one if you can.
Well, it sounds like an amazing team behind that yacht for sure. And don't forget, you can also check out our article online about the 13 biggest boats at the show that are for sale if you're shopping around for something particularly large. There are some interesting boats there, including the 47.8 metre Fedship Gitana, or Gitana, I'm not sure if my accent is up to scratch there, the 51.7 metre Fedship Amante, the 64 metre VSY Yacht Atomic, and the 44.8 metre Choi Lee Dorothea III, which you would have heard us mention before on this podcast, and I think we touched on it last week. She's won our Voyager Award in the past and has done some amazing travelling. So if you're looking for a yacht that's been put to the test, I'd like to see a better contender than her. Actually, while we're talking about explorers, I should just give a quick shout out for our Explore Yachts conference, which is really close now, under a month, taking place on November 10th at Monaco Yacht Club. And as always, there's some great speakers and some topics lined up, including a number of really big Explore Yacht owners who are always fascinating to hear from, I think.
Yeah, there'll be so much in the way of expertise there from people who've actually built explorers and therefore know all of the pitfalls as well as all of the opportunities. So if you are thinking about an explorer yacht, buying one, building one, converting one, anything, you really, really should attend this because it will be invaluable information.
Absolutely. Well, the keynote in particular is this explorer, Victor Vescovo. We did an interview with him. many moons ago on this podcast, which is fascinating. But he's the owner of DSSV Pressure Drop. So he's dived deeper than any human being ever has and visited the deepest points of the Earth's five oceans. And he's going to be talking about what fuels his passion for adventure. And really interestingly, actually, he got in touch the other day to say he'd finally, after, you know, all these amazing things he's achieved, he's finally sold his system. So he's kind of come to the end of his explorer yacht owner journey in a way. So it'll be really interesting to hear about not only what he's achieved, but kind of what he'd do differently if he was to do things again, how he found it, trying to kind of find a new owner for this incredibly bespoke, complex system. I know that he plans to do a lot more exploring. So what he's going to go on and do next and what he's learned from the whole experience. I mean, I can't imagine anyone more interesting to listen to be honest. I think it'd be great.
Absolutely. We'll also be covering the evolution of support vessels, which are a brilliant tool if you're planning an adventurous trip and want to take something like a submarine that you don't want to take on your actual yacht for understandable reasons. And if you want to have a whole new crew in reserve on your support vessel to refresh your current crew, also very useful. But we'll be talking to some people who really know about support vessels and have seen them evolve over the years into the really, really important tools that they are today.
And lastly, I just wanted to highlight another super yacht owner, Lord Irvin Laidlaw, who's been a yachtsman and an owner for more than half a decade, is going to talk to Stuart about his adventures under sail. So great to have a sailing adventurer there, including his most recent visit to Papua New Guinea on board Lady Christine. So really looking forward to hearing about that as well. So that's Monaco and that's Flibs as well. So if you're either of those things, of course, come and say hello, especially Flibs. We'll be there. We've got our own events going on. Come and see us. Tell us our stories. Let us know which boats you've really enjoyed. Or if you've made a purchase, you can come and show off your new toy. Tell us all about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Please do.
But what have you been, while you've been grounded here in London with the political situation unfurling as we speak, what have you been working on, Caroline?
Well, apart from watching the political situation car crash, we have been working on the December issue. So you can read all about the beautiful new Amel 60 Come Together. That's the first in a new breed of the Amel's limited edition boats, which used to be designed by Tim Haywood. And this one has been designed by Espen Oino. So it's a little bit different. It's a real beauty with a winch design interior. So I do recommend picking up a copy of the December issue to read about that one. Another highlight in that issue is the 68-metre Nebula, which is a support vessel. We're just speaking about support vessels, but it's unlike anything you have seen before. It's eye-poppingly bright inside with stylish interiors that are way beyond what you'd expect of a vessel that's primarily intended for crew. So a really unusual, special boat, that one too. So those are just two exciting boat features in the December issue. We've got lots more interesting content in there.
Eye-poppingly bright, how? What colours are we talking?
I mean, neon? Like neon orange.
Really?
Like a highlighter pen.
Nice.
I'm really cool. I mean, it sounds a bit full on, but it's really beautiful. Really, really beautiful, yeah.
I haven't seen that. I'm excited to have a look. I'm not quite sure, bleary-eyed, waking up on my super yacht charter, if I would be up for highlighter orange, but you never know. Well, sometimes these things work.
You would probably be crew if you're there. So if you're waking up with a hangover, something's gone a bit wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting colour in super yachts. That's something we're looking at for the Super Yacht Design Festival. And we've got various people speaking on that because we have seen the interiors becoming a lot more colourful. I think since the pandemic, since people have been actually living on their own boats and personalising them
a bit more. Interesting.
Which I think is great because it's just so nice to see a bit of variety and you kind of moving away from, obviously these kind of neutral interiors are very restful and I can see why people like them, but it's nice to see something with a bit more kind of character to it and a bit more identity.
Yeah, totally.
We're actually going to be having a trends forecaster speaking at the design festival who'll be telling you which colours are the kind of, you know, the trends, the colours that everyone will be having over the next few years on their boats, in their houses, in their fashion. And it's quite interesting because you are sort of affected by cultural references that you don't really realise. She was sort of saying, for example, at the moment on TikTok, there's a big trend for kind of 90s nostalgia, and that's giving rise to all these kind of pastel-y, kind of Barbie, My Little Pony colours like turquoise and mauve and pink. And you might not think that's your bag, but it does creep into the kind of design sphere through all these different different avenues.
How interesting. So you mentioned there the Superyacht Design Festival. Remind us when that is, Charlotte.
Yes, that is in February from the 8th to the 10th. We're back in the mountains, back in Cortina, ready to ski and drink Glühwein and party, as is always loads of fun, and of course hear from lots of people. We'll probably talk about speakers for that next week. But yes, Jane Boddy from Pantone and WGSN will be there forecasting not just colours, but sort of trends in general, what's coming up and why, you know, why they've become, why they're having a moment now, should we say.
Brilliant.
So that's what's coming up in the future. But let's take a look at what's going on right now in the world of news. Caroline.
Well, there's been another fire over in Australia. This one happened yesterday. It happened on board a 25-metre Sunseeker 82 model, which has been engulfed in a fire at the marina of Hamilton Island, which I visited. Beautiful place. Very sad that this has happened. The yacht is believed to be called Time Out. According to local reports, the fire broke out at 10 a.m. local time and continued for at least 5 hours, with emergency services hindered by windy weather. The blaze was eventually extinguished, but the hull remained smouldering in the marina. The fire was contained to a single vessel, which is great news because that's busy, busy marina, and nobody was on board at the time of the incident, and there have been no injuries reported. Queensland Ambulance Service has indicated that members of the public who have gone to the marina to look at the fire have suffered some smoke inhalation. Emergency services are now working to prevent the hull from sinking and curb any further pollution in the vicinity. The cause of the fire remains unknown.
Well, it's very dramatic that when I was looking at the pictures yesterday, I was quite taken aback. It's a bad one. But yeah, you can see for yourself on our site. In happier news, the fifth hull in Tankoa's 50-metre all-aluminium S501 series has hit the water at the Italian shipbuilder's Genoa facility. The unnamed project was started on speculation and sold to a European owner in September 2021, with delivery scheduled for early next year. The yacht was rolled out of the construction shed and lowered into the water in a private ceremony held on October 22nd. The hull now joins sister ships Kinder and Olokun on the water. Great stuff.
Well, next up, the Cornish studio LP Design UK has unveiled a new 44.2-metre Explorer yacht design named EXO144. Designed as an entry-level model in the studio's EXO range, the yacht has a more compact footprint with a beam of 8.5 metres and a range of 4,000 nautical miles and a GT of less than 500. So it's a pretty compact Explorer. Mm. Richard Leibowitz, the owner of LP Design, said that having introduced the 57-metre and the 63-metre models, they felt that an offering in the smaller end of the Explorer yacht market was essential. LP Design UK hopes to soon announce a partnership with a notable shipyard to further develop the build specification, pricing guide, and a potential delivery date. With a steel hull and aluminium superstructure, she's designed to accommodate 12 guests and 8 crew members. Decks are thoughtfully laid out, with the master suite located on the upper deck, which serves as a penthouse with generous views. Other highlights include an observation deck and a beach club that serves as the arrival lobby for guests joining the vessel in port or at anchor.
Sounds great. Look forward to having a look at that. There seem to be more and more of these kind of little, not little explorers, but kind of mid-range explorers.
Yes, well, actually, on that note, in the January issue of Boat International, to give you a little sneak peek of the future of the magazine, we have a feature on Aquila, which is a Cantieri Della Marche explorer yacht, which is 42.9 metres, so a pretty compact one. It's a really fascinating boat, and you can see in that feature more about why you might want to have a smaller explore yacht rather than an absolutely massive ship to go somewhere exotic.
Yeah, I mean, it makes total sense to me, you know, to have something a bit smaller that you can get into more more exciting, more remote areas.
Exactly.
For sure.
Tuck into little bays and things like that.
Yeah. So that's the news. Now on to the data. As ever, brought to you thanks to our amazing market intelligence platform, Boat Pro. No surprises that this week we're going to take a look at FLIBS, combining our official lists and broker lists and some AIS data to give you the most up-to-date view of this year's show. Of course, there might be a few extra yachts spotted at the show that we weren't expecting, or a couple of minor changes, but basically what we have here today should be really close to the current numbers and what you're going to see this week. So what we're going to do is we're going to compare FLIBS to Monaco and Cannes, of course, two other really major boat shows, and just take a look at why it's got this special reputation and how it stacks up compared to the competitors. So if we look at the various fleets going to the shows, and we're looking only here at yachts over 24 meters, this year at FLIBS, we reckon there are going to be 157 boats. That's significantly more than Monaco Yacht Show, where there were 112, or Cannes, where there were 95 this year. In terms of the total LOA, at FLIBS, it's going to be about 5,405, pretty similar to at Monaco, where the total LOA was 5,479, and more than at Cannes, as you might expect, which was at 3,045. If we look at the average LOA of the boats in meters, this is quite an interesting one. So at FLIBS, the boat's average LOA is 34.4 meters. So all kind of hovering around that size. At Monaco, much bigger, 48.9 average LOA there. And at Cannes, slightly bigger at FLIBS than at Cannes, 32.1 meters. Next up, if we take a look at the gross tonnage, now this is where you get the most sort of dramatic variation. The total gross tonnage, at FLIBS this year, we estimate at around 41,606. If we look at Monaco, that was at 79,784. So a lot larger total gross tonnage there. And Cannes is by far the smallest, 20,146 total gross tonnage there. And then if we look at the average gross tonnage at FLIBS, we think the average is 265. If we look at Monaco, the average is 712. So big difference. And at Cannes, the average is 212. Then if we look at the number of semi-custom boats, well, here is where FLIBS, you know, you'll find a big difference. 118 of the boats at FLIBS we think will be semi-custom. So, you know, most of them out of 157. At Monaco, it was only 61 out of 101. And at Cannes, it was 84 out of 90. So largely semi-custom at FLIBS. And then the average age of the boats, the average age of a boat at FLIBS is 10.92 years. At Monaco, it's 7.66. And at Cannes, it's 4.27.
So I suppose that's not super surprising. So at Monaco, you've got a lot of completely bespoke boats. So you would expect to have fewer semi-custom boats, whereas at FLIBS, you've got a lot more. You would also expect Monaco yachts to be a bit younger than FLIBS boats. What's interesting there, though, is that the yachts at Cannes are very, very new, significantly newer than the yachts at Monaco, which is interesting.
Yeah, the yachts at Cannes are younger, and it's worth noting that the super yachts are older at FLIBS because it's more of a brokerage show for yachts above 24 meters. Certainly, there were 29 yachts delivered in 2022. And FLIBS is actually the biggest show if you count all the boats, 1,300 announced this year from jet skis to super yachts.
Yeah, it's an absolute, if you're talking about like the amount of space that that the show takes up, FLIBS is a huge show with lots of elements that they don't really have at Monaco, lots of gear and tech and things like that that you can have a wander through and buy on the way to our stand where you're going to come and have a chat with us.
Yeah. And lastly, maybe we can finish the data report by looking at the size categories, you know, what size boats are at which shows. And as we've discussed, you'll find more boats at the smaller end of the market at FLIBS and your kind of big 70 meter plus boats at Monaco. So if we look at boats that are 24 to 30 meters, they're going to be 64 at FLIBS, 10 at Monaco and 48 at Cannes. If we look at boats that are 30 to 40 meters, they're going to be 60 at FLIBS, 24 at Monaco and 36 at Cannes. If we look at boats that are 40 to 45 metres, it starts tapering off at FLIBS, 22 of them there, whereas there were 39 in Monaco and only 9 in Cannes. Then if we look at 50 to 57 metres, there were 9 at FLIBS, so not really many at all, whereas there were 29 at Monaco and only 1 of those at Cannes. And lastly, in the huge category, 70 metres plus, there are going to be 2 at FLIBS this year. there were 10 at Monaco and there was one in Cannes. So as we sort of mentioned, yeah, smaller to mid-sized boats really dominate at FLIBS and also at Cannes, and bigger boats are where you'll see those at Monaco. So you can keep an eye out for them and report back. And that's it for this week's Boat Briefing. As ever, an exclusive product of Boat International Media and mixed and produced by Grace Nielsen. If you'd like to hear more from us, don't forget to subscribe, and that way you'll always get an alert when there's an episode. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next week.